Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf, it was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself.
Breakup songs, because Friday was love songs.
They'd be your partner, they'd be your partner, and
did she ever announce, Carly Simon, who this song was about?
She auctioned it off for charity and whispered it to the high bidder.
Huh. And was that under the condition that you can't repeat it?
Everyone for, you know, years had thought it was Warren Beatty.
Or James Taylor,
but there's another one because we looked this up. It wasn't Mick Jagger, but it was someone like that. And I think only the high bidder.
Is he not allowed to repeat it, or she?
I don't think he or she was allowed to repeat it. But I swear it's Warren Beatty with the scarf, was apricot. Because you know he looks at himself when he walks by that mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Great song. What a great song.
I look good. I mean, I look real good.
Here it is. The list of men that is purported to be written about. Cat Stevens, Kris Kristofferson, Warren Beatty, and it was Mick Jagger. Warren Beatty and Mick Jagger.
And James Taylor was also thought to be one of the guys it was written about. Some interesting facts you didn't know about one of your favorite movies. Fox News. 35 years ago today, the world was introduced to an intrepid gang of high school students from different cliques who called themselves the Breakfast Club. Will you double check that the Breakfast Club came out on February 17th, 1985? The John Hughes 85 classic is praised to this day for showing the world a realistic look at some of the timeless struggles that America's youth endure on a daily basis. It also made cast members Molly Ringwald, Ally Sheedy, Judd Nelson, Anthony Michael Hall, and Emilia Estevez, household names. After 35 years, the film remains a seminal classic that's still beloved by even new generations. My kids love that movie. I know Jack is a big fan.
All the kids love that movie.
Here are five fun facts you did not know.
Okay.
Rick Moranis was originally hired to be the janitor. If you don't know the name Rick Moranis,
yeah,
he was the nerd in Ghostbusters.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, that's right. Rick Moranis was originally hired to be the janitor in that movie. He had a very different interpretation of the character than the filmmakers had in mind. He showed up to the set with his hair cut short, gold caps in his teeth, and a pre-prepared thick Russian accent. When the first footage of Moranis' portrayal went to producer Ned Tannen, he couldn't put a stop to it fast enough. "What the blank was that?" said Tannen into the phone. "Well, Rick came, and that is his interpretation of the janitor." "No, we're not going to do that. Well, I can't fire Rick Moranis," and then the producer said, "Then I guess I have to." Molly Ringwald got a sexist scene cut out of the film.
Well, there were multiple sexist scenes in that film.
There were.
Okay.
But there was one that she was particularly disturbed by, and it included the principal, Mr. Vernon, having a peephole into the women's locker room, and he was apparently spying on a female teacher who was swimming nude. Molly Ringwald objected, and the scene was cut out. New footage has come out 3 decades later. When the film was released on Blu-ray, it featured 50 minutes of previously never-before-seen footage. Among those scenes was one featuring Claire and Allison striking up an uncomfortable conversation in the ladies' room. Claire comments on Allison's unique eating habits, lecturing her about eating chips in the bathroom, blah, blah, blah. The scene never made it to the original cut of the movie, but it did come out 30 years later.
Hmm.
The library was actually a gym.
The library was actually a gym.
Where the vast majority of the movie takes place.
Yeah, I wondered who had a library that big. That room was enormous.
The stars revealed in the 30th anniversary edition that the library where most of the film takes place did exist in a real high school, but it was not a library. It was a clever set design from people who turned a gym into a believable library set. They shared that a local football team, the Chicago Blitz, was not able to use their regular space for practice due to the film being shot.
Hmm.
Quote from Judd Nelson, they hated us. And lastly, Anthony Michael Hall had a growth spurt during the filming of the movie. He grew 2 inches during the filming of the movie.
No way!
Yep.
Is that why his pants were too short?
No, it doesn't say here. But maybe that's why you dress the way you do. You literally dress like Anthony Michael Hall.
I've heard many times that I look just like him. And when I say many, I mean I can't count how many times I've heard that.
I don't know that you look just like him, but I can see Scott saying you dress like him sometimes.
You do. Dude, you're a 22-year-old kid lost in the 80s. And I like that about you.
I'm not complaining. By the way, it came out February 15th of 1985.
Oh.
Okay, so maybe that story came out on Saturday.
That's all right. Did you hear one of the remaining USS Arizona crew members who survived the attack on Pearl Harbor has died? His name was Donald Stratton. He passed away at his Colorado Springs home in his sleep over the weekend. Family was there. 97 years old, had been in poor health since contracting pneumonia in October. Quoting here from his son, he was a very humble, very quiet hero. He did not want or seek the attention he received. Stratton was one of the survivors of the Japanese aerial attack. More than 1,100 crew members, as you know, Scott, died on the battleship. One of Donald's final wishes was that people remember Pearl Harbor and the men aboard the USS Arizona, share their story, and never forget those who gave all for our great country. I'm trying to look up. He was also an author, by the way, who penned All the Gallant Men. He is one of the final remaining USS Arizona crew members. I need to look up how many.
Oh, he was on the Arizona.
He was on the USS
I missed that part.
Arizona. And wow. I need to look up how many, I thought at the end of the story it would say, are left. It's a very small number.
Well, it's a handful at best,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
this says two.
Hmm.
This says two. Lou Conter, 98 years old, of Grass Valley, California, and Ken Potts, 98 years old, of Provo, Utah.
Mm.
And that story was just posted today, which takes into account the death of Donald Stratton. So we are down to two.
I'll be darned. May God bless him. From the text line, 9326 is that movie, Breakfast Club, cultural? Are there any brown people in it? I believe the cast is very small.
Seven. If you don't count the very first scene.
If you don't count the parents dropping their kids off, it was the five kids, the janitor, and the principal. Everybody's white. So, no, it's not. There's no minorities represented in that movie. And that was the first time I've ever thought of it. But then again, I'm white. From 4535, I'm not trying to nitpick, but is there something different about your guys' sound? And did you just... Or did I just change some things in my car, but you guys sound different than normal?
Hmm?
First I've ever heard of it, and I think you may have changed some things in your car.
We are actually here on President's Day.
We are.
If you're listening and wondering, are they just mailing this in? Well, we are mailing it in. But we're here. We're actually here today.
But mailing it in.
February 17th, mailing it in.
Well, we mail it. Yes. But no, sir or ma'am, I think you may have... Touch something in your car. Jack up that bass. I always sound better when you jack the bass.
Scott likes the reverb.
Okay, Bill Grady.
Oh, that's good.
576-7798. When we get back, would you like a house that masquerades as a hotel right next to your house? That's a question they're wrestling with in Lawrence today and tonight. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. It is President's Day. Happy President's Day to all of you, especially those of you who have the day off. Good for you, man. Disgraced ex-Congressman Anthony Weiner is generating controversy at his son's private school in New York City, according to the New York Post. Parents are worried the school board may let the convicted sex offender back onto its grounds.
Oh.
Parents are very upset, the New York Post quoted an insider as saying. The school has kids that are 16 and 17. That's right in Wiener's age range. The same age as the
it's
kid
in
that
the
he
age
was
range of the girl he was sending with. Photos to.
That's
yes.
his target audience. Is it not?
Keep reading.
Okay. Wiener had to register as a... God, just can't get over his last name. I'm sorry. I know it is not his fault.
It's fitting.
Wiener had to register as a New York State sex offender after serving 21 months in prison for sending sexually explicit text messages to a 15-year-old North Carolina girl. He was sprung from prison last year. His 8-year-old son, Jordan, is enrolled at a fancy downtown school that allows Wiener up to its gates, but no further. But that could soon change. Freaked out parents had a representative contact the Post to say Wiener has been lobbying the school board to be allowed onto the school grounds to collect his son and attend events such as parent-teacher conferences.
You know who I feel so sorry for?
The kid.
His son.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, your dad's on the outside of the gate, can't come onto school grounds. Everyone knows why.
Yeah.
I don't know what schools do in that circumstance. He can't be the only dad on a sex offender registry or mom on a sex offender registry.
Probably
do you
not.
Just blanketly say none of them can come to any activities?
I think you would have to, wouldn't you?
I mean, what if you're a felon and you've served your time for bank robbery?
You're not on the sex offender registry.
But I'm asking, if you're a felon, can you just go to your parent-teacher conferences?
I would think so. I mean, if you're a felon, you're not on some watch list. If you're a sex offender, you are. And who are we kidding? Everybody knows who Anthony Weiner is and what he did. He sent pictures to a 16-year-old girl. He's a pervert.
I certainly understand the parents saying we don't want him anywhere near our school.
So do I.
It's an interesting dilemma because he is also the father of this son. And so...
I feel so bad for that kid.
I do too.
Here's a novel idea.
And his mom's amazing. I mean, his mom is amazing.
Let your ex-wife go do it.
Let Huma go.
Let Huma Aberdeen go. And then she can report back how the kids' grades are. You give up certain rights when you are posing in your underpants with your baby right next to you, and you're sending these pictures, and these pictures left very little to the imagination, if you know what I mean.
I know.
And you send these pictures to a 16-year-old girl in North Carolina, you're a pervert, and you have given up some of your rights. And one of those rights is you don't get to go into your kid's hoity-toity little private school in downtown Manhattan and talk to the teachers because you're dumb. Would you want Anthony Weiner anywhere near your 16-year-old
no.
daughter?
Now, what he's going to say is I've served my time.
So has everybody else on the sex offender registry.
I know. There are certain rights that you give up when you are convicted of those behaviors.
That is correct.
You probably can't trick or treat either at his house.
I don't feel good. Weirdo. What are you going to do? Roofie me with a little Kit Kat? crazy lunatic. I have zero sympathy for Anthony Weiner. None.
He would do himself a favor and his family a favor.
He would just go away.
I don't want to say go away.
Go away.
He would do them a favor if he stopped making a big deal out of this, because now it's back in the news again. It's back in the news again because he's petitioning to be allowed on school grounds. Whereas if he just quietly agreed to abide by the rules, let Huma go to parent-teacher conferences, he could conference call in, Scott.
Yeah,
he could conference call into the conferences so that he's still aware of what's going on in his son's classroom.
Logging in pervert wiener. Logging in pervert wiener.
Okay.
Phrasing.
Stephen in Raytown. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Hi.
Phil, sorry.
we've been called worse. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I've called in before. I actually am a certified administrator. And it kind of varies, because we actually talked about this in my training program, and different schools handle it different ways. It's kind of up to the administrator, because at the end of the day, the parents still have legal rights to be part of their child's schooling.
Mm.
And it goes even beyond. Go to even things like a band concert. Does the parent have the right to sit in the audience and see their kid perform?
No.
And so the idea is, some administrators will say, absolutely not, you're an offender, you are not coming on school grounds. Others will say you can come in with limited access. Others will say, keep your nose down. Now, like you guys mentioned, though, the fact that he's well-known and what he did is well-known creates a different complication as well.
Huge complication.
Absolutely.
How do you know, Stephen, if someone is on the registry? How does that information come to administrators?
A lot of it is, as parents register their students, different information like that, because we even have in our online access information on students, if there's things like visitation restrictions and things like that, so we ask those kind of questions.
Hmm. All right, bro. Hey, Stephen, Phil, I do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. From the Lawrence Journal World. And welcome back on this President's Day. Beautiful afternoon in Kansas City. A little cloudy, but warm, at least. A story here from the LJW. City leaders will soon, by soon they mean tonight, will soon consider significant changes to the way the city handles Airbnb properties and other short-term rentals. As part of its meeting, tomorrow night, beg your pardon. The Lawrence City Commission will consider adopting new regulations for whole home short-term rentals where the property owner lives somewhere else.
Yeah.
Specifically, the commission will consider adopting an ordinance that would permit whole home rentals as a use by right citywide.
Would permit.
Mm-hmm. Whole home rentals as a use by right citywide, but would cap the number of rentals an owner can operate and establish a method for revoking the license if needed. If approved, the ordinance would replace the current requirement of a special use permit for whole home rentals. The city's short-term rental regulations were created in the fall of 2018, but the previous commission quickly expressed concerns about the permitting process. So the way I read this story, and anybody who is in government in Lawrence who is listening is welcome to correct me. The way I read it is that they will allow, or are going to vote on whether they should allow, people who own a home in Lawrence who do not live in the home to rent their entire house out as an Airbnb if they want to. I am torn on this.
I don't mind as long as it's not the house next door to me.
Exactly. Exactly. I am torn because that house belongs to me. Who are you to tell me how I can rent out my home.
I'll tell you how. These are zoned as single family residential homes. The minute you no longer live in it and you have a revolving door of different people from week to week to week living there.
Day to day to day.
That is now a business.
It's a hotel.
It's essentially a hotel.
It's a single home hotel. And I have always argued on this show, from the day that this show started 14 years ago, can't believe it's been that long, your rights only extend so far as they don't infringe on mine. And I, for one, don't want a single-family hotel next door to my house, because when it comes time to sell it, it's going to be nearly impossible. Oh, who are the neighbors?
Well, it depends. It was Mary yesterday.
It's going to be Tom tomorrow night. And then I think Nathan's coming in this weekend.
So you truly never know who's next door. You never know who's next door.
Correct. If they approve it. It's up for approval. It has not been approved.
What if? Because I think there are people who look for an Airbnb in Lawrence, but I don't know that Lawrence is full of, what it's full of is college housing.
Yeah.
So that from year to year, you might have new neighbors next door if you've got somebody renting the house next door for college. Airbnb is different. I don't know that there's a 52-week per year demand for housing in Lawrence for an Airbnb.
No, but there certainly is on weekends when KU football is in town and KU basketball is in town.
Parents weekend would be another one.
Graduation.
Graduation weekend would be one. So let me ask you this. What if they said you are allowed to do this for 5 weeks out of the year? We'll give you 5 weeks. That covers all of the big, that covers graduation. It covers parents weekend. If you want to get out of town, because look, if you live in Lawrence, you don't care about that stuff. If you don't have kids at KU.
But Dana, that's cost prohibitive.
Get me out of town. You can rent out your entire home if you want to for 5 weeks out of the year.
We're talking about homes where the owner of the home does not live there. They live somewhere else. So to say.
Then what are they doing with it?
They're renting it out.
Not every single week. Come on.
Somebody must be, because it's going before the city council.
You know where people make a ton of money doing that? Places like Augusta. Okay?
Why? Because the Masters is only one
week. Because for that week of the year, over time, you pay your mortgage from that 1 2-week period.
And the rest of the year, your house just remains empty?
You live in it the rest of the year.
But no, this is not what we're talking about. Focus.
We're talking about. The point is, Lawrence does not have the pull that a place like Augusta is going to have for that type of rental. It just doesn't. Who do you think in Lawrence is not living there ever and Airbnb being it every single week? I just don't know that there's a huge market. People aren't flooding to Lawrence every week for a place to stay.
Well, maybe they aren't, but maybe they are. Keep in mind, who were some of your best friends in college? And where were they from?
Chicago.
Exactly. Chicago is a huge market for KU. So the parents want to come in for the weekend. I was roommates with a guy named Jeff McCarriger, who used to have a gig over on 610 Sports for a couple of years. And he was from Iowa City. His dad used to come into town probably two or three times a year. And he never stayed at our apartment because we only had a two-bedroom apartment. There was nowhere for him to stay.
Yeah.
He was welcome, but he didn't. And he would stay at a hotel, and then in the morning he'd come over, we'd hang out all day and go to a game or something or whatever. But if Jeff's dad wanted to come into Lawrence on, say, this weekend, February, 20th or whatever, 21st, maybe he would get an Airbnb.
And you're saying you think there's enough of those parents coming in from around the country that you could make a business.
I don't know that. What I'm saying is there apparently are some homeowners who think that there is, and they want to open up their home on a less than 9-month lease agreement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather have a 9-month lease agreement where you know who's in there for 9 continuous months than dealing with randos coming in every 7 days? I mean, I don't know why you would want to do that.
Well, here's why. Who are you going to get for 9 months?
Kids.
What are they going to do?
Be respectful of your home.
Dana. They're going to throw kegger after kegger after kegger. You know it to be true. Who is going to come in for an Airbnb?
Adults with money.
And what are they going to do to your house?
Well, some of them throw keggers. Let's be honest.
That's fine. 576-7798. From the text line before we get to the calls. Where did it go? Where did it go? Somebody was blasting me saying, it's my house. I can do whatever I want. That's partially true, but not really. And you know better than that. I think we all want to believe that we can do whatever we want with our house, but I think we all know that we really can't.
You can't put a car up on blocks for continuous amounts of weeks.
I can't
put a privacy fence in your front yard.
Or let the grass grow 3 feet tall. The city is going to get me for noxious weeds. 576-7798. Ellen in Lawrence. Hello, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
It's yours.
I have a neighbor that has had the Airbnb thing. She was doing it on the sly before it was even allowed to do, because right now they can do it while you're in the home. And it was horrible. People were coming. She would allow them to come at 11 o'clock at night. They cut across my lawn to get to her house because she had them going down through to the daylight basement. So they would cut through my yard, and my dog would bark all the time. I go to have coffee out on my deck, and there's strangers sitting in her kitchen looking at me trying to have my coffee in my bathrobe. And I live in a nice residential area on the west side of Lawrence, so I hate it.
What'd you do about it?
I talked to her, and she said, too bad, too sad. I'm doing it anyway. That's exactly what she said to me. And so then I finally got a hold of her husband, who's more reasonable, and I said, you know, I know you guys are having money problems, but this is what's happening. So then he started having them park in front of her house instead of parking in front of my house and cutting through my yard. And, but still, it makes me, I actually want to move. I was going to put up a giant privacy thing on my deck. Because the only reason she's not doing it at the moment, her elderly mother moved in with her and she's getting money taking care of her. And so I have a little reprise right now. I can't imagine if there was wild parties. Like, that's why I bought on the expensive west side of town, to not be near the college kids.
You know, Ellen, I'll tell you, I only stayed in one Airbnb, and I'll never do it again because the experience I had in California was so weird. I just didn't like being in someone else's house. And it was a couple who clearly had a large home in California that they could not afford.
Right.
And so in order to keep the home, they lived there. They moved their small children out of their own bedrooms and rented out those rooms every single weekend, which I did not realize when I signed on to rent the room for the night. And it was so weird.
That's creepy and scary. And I actually have done the Airbnb thing for us on vacation down in the Ozarks, but I had my husband, my sons, a lot of big guys there, and nobody lived there. And it was something that's always used for an Airbnb because it's near a, you know, place where people vacation. But with all that said, I can see it happening closer to the college to go to games, but she was only charging $45 a night. So people were stopping in on the way through, heading to Colorado or whatever. And so it's scary. I'm just afraid for them and for us. I really am.
All right. We appreciate the call. From the text line, you did not pay for that property. You do not own a say on it. Now, wait a minute, 8774.
You mean your neighbor's property.
Right. There was a time about 3 or 4 years ago where my then neighbor Lee decided he was going to launch next door on the house south of me, which is you could spit a spitball and it would hit the side of his house from mine. That's how close we are. Lee decided to launch a really bad garage rock band And they would practice at 11 o'clock at night on Wednesdays. Wednesdays. Well, that just happened to be the night I had one of the kids. And Maya was up at 1 o'clock in the morning coming into my room saying, "Dad, I can't sleep. This awful music." Lee and his horrible, horrible rock band were playing in the garage right next to Maya's room. You know what I did? I called the damn police. And they shut them down. Yeah. I do have a say in what goes on next door to me. Yes, Lee was paying for the house, but he was also keeping us awake at 1 o'clock in the morning with god-awful rock music coming out of his garage. And by the way, the band sucked. If I haven't been clear.
It just made it more offensive that the band sucked.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if they played some Barry Manilow or Celine Dion, maybe that would be okay. Fall asleep music.
There were no Almost Kiss.
No. You don't have the right to do whatever you want in your home just because you're paying for it. And you certainly don't have the right to do anything you want with your yard just because you're paying for it. I've never understood people who make that argument. I paid for it. I got the right to do whatever I want. You don't have the right. There are laws. We are a nation of laws. You can't just let your grass grow to 3 feet tall. You can't put a canoe out in the front yard and just leave it there collecting water. You can't do that.
You can.
Well, yeah, and then you'll get fined. 576-7798. Telephone number here is 576-7798. Somebody says they just looked up Airbnb. They have 246 listings for Lawrence, Kansas alone.
But you know what I'm saying, Scott? How many of those are, we're going to Airbnb our house out for the big games?
Yeah.
Here and,
You can have the room upstairs. We're still living here.
Here and there, or we'll go visit the grandkids this weekend and we'll Airbnb it during one weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I just would be shocked if people are 24/7 Airbnb-ing in Lawrence to a great enough extent.
Well,
I could be wrong.
And I think you might be, Dana, with all due respect. Somebody writes in, and I'm trying to find it here. You got to remember that Lawrence Airbnb could be used almost every week. Football, baseball, soccer, softball. Parents coming in for their kids who are playing against KU.
Okay.
And then they also say between April and November, there are so many tournaments, soccer tournaments, baseball tournaments that go on in Lawrence. And all these kids come into town from Wichita, Topeka.
Yeah.
Probably not Topeka, but Wichita and Salina, et cetera, et cetera. And they need a place to stay. They need to put up the team somewhere. And most parents can't afford, you know, $150 every weekend per night to put them and their whole family up somewhere. So they go to an Airbnb, $50, no big deal.
Okay.
We'll just go ahead and take it. You know, we get the whole house? Okay, fine. Oh, Checkers is right down the street? Okay, great, thanks. And just point us in the direction of the baseball field. We'll be there tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I think this Airbnb is a bigger deal than you and I realize, A, because we don't participate in it, but also...
Also because we live close enough that I either come back home and stay or I get a hotel room. I mean, for like mom's weekend, I get a hotel room. I'd rather have a hotel room than the Airbnb.
But you're not participating in... the soccer tournament crew.
Right.
Take my brother, for example, down in Wichita. I don't know why they do this, but Wichita teams are prone to not play in Wichita. I don't understand it. My brother will only play in leagues in Kansas City. So during the fall and spring, my brother is up here every weekend, 8 weeks in a row. In the fall and spring. That's 8 weeks in a row that my brother has to put his team up or the team his kid plays on in a hotel. Now, I don't know where these people get all this money. I don't know what kind of crack they're selling down in Wichita. But every week for 2 months, my brother is in Kansas City because they do not play in Wichita. They only play a Kansas City team. Now, what they need to do is go on Airbnb. Get this figured out. Crazy.
Have you ever done it?
No, I've never done it.
I've done it. It's great.
We did it in Nashville because we had 12 women. And there are people who have gone into Nashville, knocked down houses, built what is clearly only being used for Airbnb. So it's a huge kitchen with a gathering room. It's a
vacation house.
And then bunk beds galore so that you can shove in as many people that are coming in for the weekend. And I'm sure the people who live there year-round are rolling their eyes. But we talked about this in Nashville. There are homeowners making a fortune.
Making bank.
A fortune on Airbnb.
Yeah, you're renting out a whole house, and yeah, it's great for
yeah, it's great unless you're the guy who lives next door.
Well, you 20 people rules in.
Well, and that's what Lawrence is talking about doing.
Yeah.
And there were rules.
I mean, you get charged for cleaning fees. If you violate certain things, if you have guests over and the rules say you can't have guests over, you get fined or kicked out. And yeah, there's all kinds of rules around the Airbnb contract that you sign.
We had the group in the Airbnb next to our group. Police were called because there was a family fight that led to fisticuffs.
That happens in hotels as well.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like 2 a.m. I slept right through it. The next day they were like, you missed the excitement next door.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.